is a few weeks of Hagdama. Isaac and the Inyan of Achrayas a little bit before going into the Halachas. I spoke last week a little bit about what I envisioned the upcoming weeks and months to be focused on, as Hashem, the Midah Yisoid, Lucius Agris, the Halachas, and Pnimis of it. Those of you who were here last week, you remember we were talking about Adam Arishan's difficulty accepting responsibility. He was hiding, and then when he was confronted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all he could come up with, I mean, not that we would do any better, just all he could come up with was come hiding, I'm naked. That whole mahalach. Had to hide. I'm not dressed. And remember Hashem said to him, who told you that you're naked? We were learning that Torah, that amazing Torah last week. Really had to live with that Torah. The Torah that we learned from the Tzaddik from Denver, Aaron Stipler. That the hardest thing for a man, the hardest thing is to be able to admit that I've made a mistake. There's something in my life that is not the way that it should be. Well, v'chol zos, not to demonize myself, not to make myself into a rush. Lo lahashia es atzma. Because if you do that, you're going to hide. You're going to hide. You're going to run away. You're going to run away. The tachlis is to accept responsibility. And to know that the Rosh Hashanah still loves me, and I'm still a yid, I'm still that's a tzaddik, and to try to correct my behavior. Sounds simple, no? Now I don't know how many of you have learned the Sefer Beis Yaakov. Yeah. Any of you learned the Sefer Beis Yaakov? A little bit, yeah. It's a whole different, it's like a different universe. Ishbis Bechlal is a different world. So let's go on a little bit of a journey. Look inside the Beis Yaakov. V'yoyma ha'odom ha'isha sh'nesati imadi hi nos nalim ha'eid sebok. So that's where the problem began. And you and I are still struggling with this. That Adam Rishon points to Chava and says, look, you gave me this woman and she got me into this whole Indian of eating from the Eitz HaDa'as. Hine kol halimudim, he says the Beis Yaakov here. Hine kol halimudim shehoyu la'Hashem Yisborach im ador hazeh. All that Hashem was trying to teach the early generations at the beginning of time, because this strange was a strange time, and all that Hashem was teaching, kol halimudim shohoy l'Hashem esbarach imador hazeh hoya sheyitlu achisaron ba'atzma. All that Hashem was trying to teach at that time, and is still trying to understand this and to grasp it and to live this way, was sheyitlo achisaron ba'atzma. That to be able to look at a chisaron in your life, at a deficiency in your life, and to be able to accept responsibility, to blame yourself instead of blaming God or somebody else. Now, what the Rebbe is going to explain is that at the beginning of time, it was very hard for Adam to accept responsibility, more than it is for us, because in Adam's eyes, Hashem Yisbarach's presence was so powerful, was so overwhelming. he had a personal relationship with the creator of the universe. Now, just think for a minute. Before we read inside, just think for a minute. People, regular people like us, were Baruch Hashem growing up at a time when things are pretty normal. Not like my parents and grandparents, things are pretty normal. How hard is it to begin for us to take responsibility, a wife, kids? When you grew up in a home where mommy and daddy took care of everything, where everything you came into a world that was, you and I, we came into a world that was made for us by our parents. It was made for us. Some more, some less. But we came into a world that was made for us. Our parents are the creators. And we came into a world that was made. And because of that, it's hard for us to adjust and to become creators ourselves. Because when you're on the receiving end, it's hard to become the one who's giving. It's very, very hard. So what the Rebbe explains is, Kizos Hayakosha Aleya. It was very hard for them at the beginning of time. And they shall hoyu bitkifus ma'oid. Li yaisam kravim elamatzil baruchu. Because they were so close to Hashem, and because creation was so fresh, everything was brand new, and everything was God. All they saw was God. It was with such tekifus. Hashem's presence was so powerful and overwhelming. The Rome of Furish Hashem's Baruch Barum Omanigaisam. And not like us, where we live, we don't see that Akash Baruch is running the show. We believe in that, we try. But to them, it was mafurash, the Rome of Furish, Hashem's Baruch Barum Omanigaisam. It was clear, beyond any question, that they were created by Hashem, and Hashem is Baruch was manigaisam. Hashem is Baruch was taking care of them. Lachain lo hoyu yecholim litlois ba'atzma machisar. Therefore, they couldn't take the blame for something that was wrong in their lives. The Creator made us this way. This is how I was created. To them, the Creator wasn't something that they spoke about or heard about. This was their reality. And because of that reality that they lived in, it was very hard for them to feel that I have control over my own destiny. That what happens to me is a matter of my making good decisions. And if things in my life are not going well, then I have to look at myself and to ask, have I made the right decision? Do I take responsibility? At that early time, it was very hard to take responsibility. Because the Baruch Hashem was so big, and he was in charge. So if something didn't go right, the obvious one to turn to and to say, like, what's going on, is the Baruch Hashem. Adam didn't have parents. We do that with our parents. Adam Rishon had HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adam Chava had Hashem. Hashem is Baruch was teaching them. And this is something that parents have to give over to children. Hashem gave it over to Adam Rishon, and it hurt. It hurt. Adam Chava lost Gan Eden. It hurt. Hashem is Baruch Limud Aysam Sheikablu Aleim Achisar Bekach Yofel Lehem. Hashem is Baruch taught Adam Chava to accept the chisaron in their lives, responsibility for what's missing in their lives. The kach yofelah, and that befits them. Kach yofelah, that's the way it should be. Och de Isa betrand wel jou, hoe de Medrash zei het heeft. Ze gezaal zei de Medrash. Oymim loy lo adem arishin mi garm locha. Like Hashem Yisbach had a class. And Hashem Yisbach said, okay, let's go over this, let's review. Mi garm locha. Who caused all of this to you? Liz, why are you no longer in Gan Eden? Who's the cause of the mess that you're in? Ani garamti la'atzmi. I'm the cause. I caused this to myself. Hashem Baruch was chazering with Adam. Because in Adam's mind, it was you caused it. You created me this way. So Hashem Baruch says, mi garam lecha? Who caused this? Like drilling. Why did this happen to you? It's my fault. Now listen to what the Rebbe explains. And you're going to have questions on this. The Rebbe explains what Adam Harishon Svara was. I find this to be an unbelievably moving thing that the Rebbe explains. And Adam had, along with all the other svaras that we've heard, or maybe not along with them, this is something different. He had, Lemaisi had a pischan pe. He had what to say to Hashem. That's stam, an excuse. There was a pischan pe. What was it? Not what we were taught. Something different. V'zeh sheheshev. When he says, Ha'isha shenasati imadi. Now, since the time that we're learning Chumash, so the way that it's been given over to us is like the biggest, most miserable cop-out ever, right? Not that we don't do that, but it's a miserable cop-out. Ha'isha shenasati imadi. It's her fault. It's her fault. But what did Adam HaRishon really mean by that? Because it can't be that it just stopped like that. So what does it mean? So the Rebbe explains, V'zeh sheheshev ha'isha shenasati imadi. What Adam HaRishon said, it's because of her. It's, I know, I'm trying to hear this, that it's my fault. But I have to tell you, Baruch Shalom, it's because of her. Why? Hainu shetshuva sohaisa shahi mochach le'achol. He was saying, I had no choice, I had to eat from the tree. Ki ha'eich evshe shehi toichel v'ani lo'eichel. How could it be that she would eat from the tree? She was eating from the tree. And how could it be that she would eat from the tree? V'ani lo'eichel, and I'm not going to eat from the tree. Im kein tishara hi b'chisaron tamid. How could I abandon her? How could I leave her? She's going to destroy herself. She's going to disobey you and destroy herself. You created us, as the Rebbe brings in a second, you created us as one being. Adam Chav, as one thing. Which Chazal say, he brings in a second, that they were from the beginning, they were mamish, one being, they were connected. How could I allow this person to be destroyed, to be by herself in her misery and her loneliness? V'lo yiyeh mi sheyoshiya osa im chesrayna. And she won't have anybody in her life to help her, to be with her there with what she's going through. Something? Have you answered something? How can I just walk away from somebody who I was one with, who I am one with? So I'm going down with her. I made the decision to go down with her. This isn't stam. Ha'isha shenasati imadi is not stam. It's not me, it's her. He is shifting. Of course he's saying that I wouldn't have done this. But I made this call, and the call was, the decision was, I can't leave her. I'm not going to walk away. I'm not going to walk away. They were joined together at the back. There was no mechitza between them. Turn the page over. Therefore, when you look in Chumash, you don't see that Hashem Baruch said anything like, come on, give me a break. That's why you ate from the tree. You felt bad for her. That the woman that you gave me, she gave me to eat. You ate from the tree because you felt that you couldn't leave Chava. But Lamaisa, the Rebbe says, L'heishiv le'kadosh baruch hu klum. We don't find the kadosh baruch hu said, get out of here. We don't find the answer. Ad she'shol es ha'isha gam kei v'nisher esiv mechuyavis. Then Hashem's Baruch turns to Chava, and she was mechuyavis. She was mechuyavis. She is mechuyavis. She was mechuyavis. She was guilty as charged. So there was, what the Rebbe's explaining was, there was a very strong limud zchus in defense of Adam Rishon's decision. So then why is Hashem Yisbarach have a taina? And how is it that Adam Rishon failed the test of responsibility? And Oz kolel ha-kilel ha-adom ha-bavru. And then, of course, Hashem, afterwards, after Chava, after Hashem Yisbarach said to Chava, no? And then, okay, they're in it together, and Hashem curses the earth. Is there lama? Elibnesha Isha Asa Loitaiv. Schava is taka her fault. And what she did was wrong. Nimsa Shuhoya Messaya Ide Ovya Verabachilas. So the Rebbe says that the din of Adam Rishon was a din of being Messaya. In other words, he was an accomplice to the crime. He was Messiah, he was some sort of enabler or accomplice to the crime, which was essentially the crime of Chav. Adam Rishon was a Messiah. So according to the Rebbe's remarkable explanation of what happened over there with Adam and Chav, Adam Rishon had a piskun. There was something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not answer Adam Rishon and tell him that you should have ignored him and walked away from him. He didn't say that. There is something to what Adam Rishon was saying. That when you're one with somebody, there is an inyan of suffering with that person and being in Gehenna with that person. There is such a thing. So he was Messiah, the Ayurveder, he was Messiah. So what's Hashem Yisbarach's time? The Rebbe doesn't spell it out over here. There are two other places here in the parish where the Rebbe goes back to this. What the Yisod is, that if that's what it was, then talk to me about it. Don't hide. And don't run away. You can't run away from me. As we said last week in the association with Stein Banila Renin Luma Hashem, you can't run away. Don't hide. If there's something on your mind, if there's something that's wrong, then talk to me about it. Because that's also a mature way to deal with a chesaron in your life. That's also a way of taking responsibility. Talk about it. Work it through. Remember, I told the Chevra a few years ago here in Shul, I don't think it was here in this Chabur, but I think I told the Chevra something a little bit biographical that I'm not particularly proud about, but it's okay with the guys to share with you, which I have in the past. That where I grew up, there was a time, I was just in college at that time, and I was dating a young lady from the neighborhood, and it was not for the intention of marriage, although I probably told her it was. I mean, you always say that, but I never meant it. Because then she says, "Oh, really?" And then everything else goes after that, fine, right? So I did everything I could to keep this, like, off the radar. There was a Rebbe there that I davened in the shtiebel. He's only around 6-7 years older than me, and I'm very close to him. I looked up him a lot. He's a fiery Satmar Chosid. And I was very, very close to him. We used to learn all the time together. Like a father-brother type of a person. And I didn't want him to see. I didn't want his sisters to see, because his sisters, like, saw everything going on in the neighborhood. And they reported it, you know. Before there was social networking, they already had it. They figured it out. Without electronics, you know what I mean? So I didn't want the two of them to see this. So, you know, when we're driving through the neighborhood or something, because the girls in the neighborhood, I had it like she had a duck. She was just duck. Say that this is going on for a while, and then it was Shavuos night. This is like I said, to be a turning point, a very important turning point of my life. It was Shavuos night, and I was there by the shtiebel, and there were a couple of chevra that were learning with him, and I stayed afterwards to learn, going to learn till the morning, and we were learning together, and then at some point, it was getting closer to the morning, so he said to me, "Chaim Aisha, let's take a little bit of a walk. We're going to go to the Young Israel and visit some of the chevra that were there in the Young Israel, because there were other bachim that were there in the Young Israel." He says, "Well, go take a walk and say, I'll get you up to the chevra." I said, "Sure." So we're taking a walk, I'm on 75th Avenue, and it's already like, you know, 3 o'clock, something like that, taking a walk. And then he stops. I remember exactly where it is, because when I pass by that place. So he stops and he says, "Nucha Maisha, how's it going?" And he says the name of the girl. So and so, whatever, Sprint Zachai, you know. "How's it going?" "Good. Enjoying it?" "Dry says Drabonins, how's it going?" I said, "The mom's like this." So I start to fumble, you know. I said, "What are you talking about?" Something like that. I said something very, very lame, you know. Like, I was fumbling. So you know what he did? He's a big guy. And now he's not, unfortunately, he's not well. But big, big. This wide, red paste, red beard back then. He grabbed me like this. And he lifted me up like this, next to his face, and he went right in my face. And he threw me into the bushes over there. That's what he did. You can't do that now. I survived, but I can't do that now. And he walked away. And I was just lying there in the bushes, and I was like broken and crying, whatever I was doing over there. I was just there for a while. I don't know. I just lied there on the grass. I was thinking about a lot of stuff. And around, 45 minutes later or something, I think he went to Israel, and he walked back. And I thought, like, this is the second hakafa, I'm going to get it now. So he says, Chaimah, you should stand up. I'm sitting on the, like, thing by the grass. He says, stand up. And he said to me, Chaimah, do you know why I did that? I just was quiet. He said, I did that because, not because you're running around with a girl. That's not why I did it. I understand where you're coming from. I get it. That's not why I did it. It's because I looked up to you, he said, as a person that doesn't run away and hide, and that you and I talk about stuff. That's why I did it. I don't like dishonesty. And you could do better than that. That's what he said to me. You could do better than that, Chaimah. He said, stop crying. He put his arm around me. We went back and we learned for another hour. I tried telling him once, years later, that Imam is, you know, he saved my life. That happened. It could have gone, you know, it could have gone the other way very badly. Even back, like, you know, in the 70s, that could have gone the wrong way. But what he was watching, what he saw happen to me is that I was hiding by the trees in the garden. And my feeling was, Eirum Anochi. I'm just nobody. I'm naked. I was caught. And I didn't want to deal. I couldn't deal with this. And how do I couldn't take responsibility. I still had to say, what are you talking about? And that's what happened to Adam Rishon, it happens to us in life. It's the hiding. It's the running away. It's the dishonesty. It's the game. And we learned to play that at a very early age. And this was mankind at its beginning. And Hashem Yisbarach gave Adam Rishon a big spit between the eyes. And threw him out of the garden. It's hard. Oh, well, Tanis Kayin. Look inside. So Adam Rishon went through this unbelievable thing. And ever since then, our avoid is not to hide. To take responsibility. If there's something that you feel is a problem, is chesaron, don't blame anybody, don't just tell me what's on your mind. Talk to me about it. Avotan is Kayin Haisa Hashem Rachi Anoichi. But then look what happens with Kayin. Kayin kills his brother. The Baruch Shalom says, no, what's with your brother? Where's, no? Hevel Achicha, where's your brother Hevel? And all that Kayin could come up with is Hashem Rachi Anoichi. What am I? I have Nachrayis, my brother. But I watch over my brother. I'm responsible for him. Ubevadai. So again, we were raised thinking like this, like super cop-out, like silly. Who do you think you're talking to? So the Rebbe says, Ubevadai lo haya b'dai to lo m'shekel with Neshem's bro. Ubevadai lo haya b'dai to lo m'shekel with Neshem's bro. He's kind. Didn't think of himself as lying. El kavanas tanoso haisa shuhu eno chayv b'davar. Kain legitimately felt, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. V'lo haya yochel lishmatum hizeh. I did not create myself, nor did I create the anger and the temper. I didn't create my bad news. You created me. You created me as somebody who's capable of killing his own brother. That's how you made me. And he wasn't saying a sheker. In his mind, this is the absolute truth. Hashem achi anoichi. Kavonis tanosi haise shu en chai bedover lo hoi yochel ishmaatsu mizeh hainu shashem izboch nosen boi kaas gol kizeh. You created me with this temper. This tremendous temper. Shlohoye b'yecholto l'zgabral yitzro. He could not possibly overcome this. He felt out of control. Now, since at that time, at the beginning, God was so everywhere, everything was God, the creation was upon them. So to him it was, this, I'm part of creation, and you created me in such a way where I could not take control. I felt I could not control myself. And that the only explanation I have for that is it's you. You created me with such a thing. And the Tanchuma articulates what Cain was thinking. And the Tanchuma says, "Barosi bi Yetzahara, you created the Yetzahara in me. Ata Shemus Hakol, you're the balabos over here. Vili hinach the largo, and you allowed me to kill him. What do you have tainus with me? You're the Shem HaKol. I'm Hashem Achi Anochi. Look, if you didn't want him to get killed, he wouldn't have died. Wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have found him. Whatever, it wouldn't have happened. Or better yet, you'd have calmed me down. And I would have been okay. But you didn't. I was with the anger. You didn't keep him from my anger. So Cain says, "Barosi b'yetzar, at the shemas hakol, you're the balabas, v'li hinach the largo, and you allowed me to kill him." V'kavana b'zek k'mayisha amarnu. And the meaning of this is k'mayisha amarnu. Shehu heishiv l'ashemas bo, shlo hoysa lo ha-bechira l'ezgavra negin yitzu. His answer to Hashem was, I did not have the ability to make a choice other than what you wanted. I could not change the situation. I couldn't overcome this Yetzer. And that I couldn't overcome it is somebody else's fault. And it must be that it's your fault. Because to Cain, Hashem's presence was so clear, was that he was the Bari or Manhig, was so clear. So Hashem's being a Bari or Manhig is not so clear to us. So we have to find other people to blame, or other things in our lives to blame for what goes wrong in our marriages with our kids. If we would be in that place of Cain, and other are Cain, and Hashem Yisroel would be so real to us, and his being a Bari or Manhig was something which is so real to us, so then we would blame him. So since we don't have that kind of relationship with him, we don't see him as really being a player in the game. So we blame the players. The obvious one is the mother and the wife. That's the most obvious. Parents, but the and the wife. It's the most obvious. Everything that's wrong in my life is because of those people. Or the teacher, or the rabbi, or whatever it is. But if to us HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so real and so present the way that it was by them, so then we would say, it's you. Everything is you. Everything is you. You made me this way. I can't control this. Rak me'es Hashem ha'isa zayis l'siva. You must have wanted this for some reason. You must have wanted me to kill Havel. But listen to what Hashem Yisbarach says to Cain. They hear the answer. Here he does answer Hashem. By other Marishan, there was a pesach and peh. By other Marishan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't answer. But here Hashem Yisbarach says, look, kol demei achicha tzoakim elai. The blood of your brother is screaming out to me. Right? That because of this reality, that your brother's blood is screaming. In other words, that there's an avla that took place. That the blood of your brother is crying out that a horrible injustice has taken place. Mizemuchach baal karcha shate chayev v'dar. Mizemuchach that you're chayev, that you're guilty. Ki bim hayu mimeni, because if I had made you do this, in other words, if I was the one that was behind all of this, lo hayu d'me'achich etzorkem, then your brother wouldn't have a taina. He wouldn't be screaming from the grave. Ki al kol davar shehu ba me'Hashem yisbarach, ein l'adam tarum esolav yisbarach. Because if this is something that was destined to be, and it had to be, and it came, and Hevel in the world of truth knows the truth, in the world of truth you know that God's in charge, then you don't have a tain against Hashem. We only have tain against Hashem in this world. This is not clear to us. But Hevel's tain was coming from beyond this world. And he was, and his blood was screaming and crying out. And the Rebbe says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Cain, Kol d'me'achich etzorkem elai, don't blame me. If it was me, your brother wouldn't be crying. His blood wouldn't be crying out to me. Because when a person knows of me, when a person meets me and knows of me, he has no tainis, he has no complaints. He knows the truth. And therefore, all the punishments that you and I experience in life, all the stuff that happens to us in life, the main punishment is that a person thinks that this just happened, like, you know, there's no reason for this happening. Like, why did this happen to me? But if a person would believe be'emes, that this is from Hashem, and that Hashem is toiv and loves you, and it's for the tachlis of your nitzchis in this world and the next world, if a person would believe in that, a person would not think of himself as someone who is being punished, wouldn't look at his life as a miserable life and somebody that's being punished. He would be benaychemiza. He would accept that whatever Hashem is doing to him is good, is right. There's no tainus. The person would believe be'emes, be'emes, ba'Hashem is bar. The reason that man is angry is because he doesn't know why did this happen. Like, why did I get sick? Why did I lose my job? Why did this happen to me? Why? But if you would imam be'emes, ba'Hashem is bar, be'emes. In the world of truth, the Rishayim, a matzdikim aleim esedin, after they die, the matzdikim aleim esedin, and they say to Hashem, Yofe danta. What does it mean, Yofe danta? You judged me the right way. There's no times. There are no times in the world of truth. It's in the world of truth. They know the truth. And the truth is that the Baruch Shalom is being foiled every single second. L'ma'aneinu. And that the truth is that didn't just happen to you. It wasn't a mikre. So there are no tainus. If a person knows that it's God, there are no tainus. U'me'ach shakol d'me'achich etzorakim. But the Messias is that your brother Hevel is screaming. His blood is crying out. That there was an avla that took place. And the avla is not for me. Because I'm a kel emuna, ein avel. I don't do avlas. I don't do stuff that's not right. I don't do stuff that's not fair. Everything I do is toiv. There's no kel emuna ve'ein avel. Sadat v'yosh. There's no avla. So then how could it be that your brother's blood is screaming? The terror is that he is the victim of an avla. He's the victim of a terrible injustice. So Hashem says, no, Reb Kain, who's responsible for the injustice? Me or you? Hashem says, if it was me, your brother wouldn't be crying that there was an avla. The terror is it's you. And it's very hard to hear that. It's you. Kind, it's you. Mach she called me a chich at soyakim. Miz a raya she hoi lo b'chi. It's a raya that you had b'chira. You could have controlled your anger and you failed. You failed. And that's something that you're going to have to learn how to live with. Again, don't make yourself into a Rasha. Talk to me. And I'll help you out. And once they start schmoozing, and Cain is starting to become real, to do tshuva, see, he does an Indian, there's an Indian there, tshuva, and he comes back, and at the recent, the Gemara says, Miz Mashir Liyah HaShabbos, Toiv Lahidus LaShem, Lazarma L'Shem Chorel. Cain's Makabal did. He accepts Hashem's judgment. He accepts that the thing that Hashem's Baruch was angry with, we could have worked out the murder thing, we could have worked out. Even though it's horrible. But we could have worked that out. But don't hide. Don't lie. Don't hide. Don't think that it's not your responsibility. It's your responsibility. Take responsibility. So I mentioned that Erev Shabbos in the Chabur because this Indian came up and we were talking about it a little bit, and I mentioned that my wife had seen a video clip of a couple of these Navy SEALs, retired Navy SEALs. These are guys that take responsibility, you know. I mean, I never spoke to one, but I've read a little bit about them. These are chashuva guys. When I say chashuva, that doesn't mean that they always use the best language, that they go to the mikveh, you understand. But they're chashuva guys. They're not hiding in the bushes, you know what I mean? They're chashuva guys. And my wife was so impressed by this interview, this thing that these SEALs were saying. I didn't see it. My wife was very impressed by it. So she ordered this book that came like a day later called Extreme Ownership. Any of you ever hear of it? No? It's supposed to be like it's making a big knock in the world. Extreme Ownership. And so on this sugya. Because before Mashiach, because that's what they say, their union is everything that is ownership. Take ownership of your life. That's all that's about. The whole mahalach of what they're being taught is ownership. Bailus. To be a baal, to be a husband, you have to take bailus. To be a father, bailus. Taking ownership of your life. To be a Jew, to take ownership of your life. What the Rebbe is explaining here is that in the early generations, it was so hard for them. And you know that everything that happened at the beginning, now right before the end, it's coming back in a very, very strong way. And that's why the Ikka Nisayon now that we see, and it plays into the whole sugya of Yisod, which we'll talk a lot about in Gris. The Ikka sugya now, this Nisayon is Nisayon of Achrayas, of taking ownership. Of taking ownership, but not with that meaning of being Mashiach Asmachot, because that's hiding. That's being a baby. That's running away. When you make yourself into a Rasha, you're running away. A lot of times you look in this Svarim and you see the Svarim say all these good things to give chizik to a person, right? All kinds of chizik. But you're really good, you're a Yid. And you think, okay, you know, this is like, you know, this fluffy, nice stuff to make me feel good. That's not what chizik is. Chizik is to make you chazak. And chazak is not a lie. Chizik is to put you into that frame of mind where you take ownership and you don't crumble and run away. That's the biggest chizik you can give someone. We can't make believe that our sons, our boys are not struggling with these things. We can't make believe. And we have to bring them to a place where they could talk to the only person in the world that they should talk to about this, and they can talk about it, is their father. And that you and I can talk about it. And that you could take ownership of this inyan, of this struggle, of this challenge, with its good days and bad days, with successes and failures. But you can't run away. You can't hide. You can't go underground. You can't make believe. That's why the most important inyan in our times in chinuch is to create an atmosphere in the home where the kid feels that he can talk to you. Many fathers would rather that the kid doesn't, you know, do me a favor. Whatever you do, I don't want to hear about it. But I hope everything will work out. I'll send you there. It's a cell. Chick-chack, they'll do something to you over there. Come back. Kilo, everybody who comes back from HSL, many of you were in HSL, came back. I'll call Beseda. So, but there are many, many fathers that prefer that method. I don't want to hear about it. Look religious. Look like you're from, you know what I mean? Like, look from. Do the from stuff. You go to shul, put the outfit on, look from. Look from enough that you're going to be able to, like, trick some girl who's really from. Look like from enough for that girl, and that the family is not on to you, and that, you know, and that the girl's not on to you. And then you go, and I'll pay for the chasna, you know, for my half. And then afterwards, it's her problem. No, that's pretty much sums up what's going on. And afterwards, it's her problem. I did my best as a father. I didn't pay for your school. You want to go second year, Shana Beis? I didn't send you for Shana Beis. I didn't come to your hockey game or something. I wasn't a good father. I was never able to talk to you. Why? I said you couldn't talk to me. I never felt comfortable that I could share with you what I was going through. Why? Whatever gave you that impression? Oh yeah, they would talk. They would say, what gave me that impression that you don't want to hear it? If you're in a home and a boy feels, and you're successful, and that the boy should be able to feel that he could talk to you about even something that's mamish when he goes into Gan. And you could teach him how to take ownership of his life without hiding, without running away, to take ownership of his life, and that he's not a Russian. He's good. But to take responsibility. And you're in control of your life. You could take control of your life. You're not a loser. You could take control of your life. But if the boys are going to grow up hiding, which now it's unbelievable hiding that's going on, you know, like you could talk to a Rosh Hashiva who, like, you know, knows Gemara Rashi Tosis inside out, and he knows that, like, a lot of Rebbe Kiva Eggers, and he's clueless to what's going on with the boys in the yeshiva. Like, what are they up to? Because they come in with the outfit, and they look for him, and they talk for him, and everything is fine. And when was the last time any one of these bachim came to talk to you about what he's really going through? So the Rosh Yeshiva thinks that the hardest challenge he has in life is this taisus. This is the biggest problem he has as far as we got this taisus. And the game goes on. So that's not going to happen in yeshiva. You might have an unbelievable mazel that, you know, that if your son gets a Rebbe, that's someone that they feel, that and it's a gewaldige thing when there's a Rebbe like that. The boy can open up to it, because that could be a big hatzalah for the boy. But it's not so pashut to find that. There are some like that. There are some. The old school, for sure, 99.9 is not like that. That's not their fault, b'chlal. It's just their upbringing. They're wonderful people. That's not this. It's not shy. There are some younger rebellion. When I'm saying young now, I mean, like, you know, up to like 50, 60. There are some younger rebellion that the boys feel that they can talk to. And when you have that, that's a huge bracha in your life. It's huge bracha. But don't wait. Don't wait till your kid finds it. I will continue this challenge.